Emotional intelligence is more than a buzzword. For some, it's a way of life. Today in The Huddle, we take a deep look into this increasingly important aspect of self-awareness and how it can be used to enhance unit performance. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, Episode 30, Emotional Intelligence and Leadership. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle Podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. I am your host for today's episode, Captain Micah Klein. Today we're excited to have a topic for you that is near and dear to many leaders' hearts, emotional intelligence. A topic that isn't new, but has gotten an increasing amount of attention among military leadership, we thought we'd take a deep dive into how company-grade officers can use the competency of emotional intelligence in their own leadership philosophies. We're excited to have someone who is passionate about the topic with us today, Captain Tiara Walls. Captain Walls grew up a military brat. At an early age, she was instilled with a profound desire to see the world and develop relationships with people. She credits living with her parents in Europe and being a brat to her sense of wonderment and open-mindedness that she brings to her military career. She cultivated friendships and family, which, by the way, I love that as a word, with people from all walks of life, all corners of the globe. She learned qualities of resilience, leadership, integrity, and perseverance from her parents through those relationships. She never thought she'd join the military, but it quickly became obvious, the obvious choice for her when she began college. She pursued a career in the Medical Service Corps through ROTC. She knew from the first day that she wanted to become an Army officer. Now, she's 8 years in, a senior captain, and a healthcare administrator. She has served as a platoon leader, executive officer, operations staff officer in the medical center, and company commander in a medical treatment facility of 270 soldiers strong. She also served as an executive officer in Operation New Dawn, closing FOBs and retrograding medical assets out of the country. She graduated from the Army Baylor program in August with a master's in healthcare administration and a master's in business administration. She also has a master of science in education and exercise science from her lieutenant days. Tiara loves learning and leading. She enjoys traveling, triathlons, trail running, and helping others live healthy lives. Which is awesome because a lot of us on the podcast actually enjoy running as well, so how convenient, right? Her passion is to cultivate relationships in units and among people, and she seeks to empower people to achieve their dreams. Dreams can take all sorts of forms, both professionally and personally, but Tiara 100% believes that it is our relationships with others that propel us into the ultimate fulfillment of our lives. Tiara, if there's anything that you'd like to add to your bio that I may have forgotten, please go ahead and do so.
No, that sounded great. I feel like that was really long, but just for a little bit of pizzazz, I guess, I did my first full Ironman 2 years ago. I'm currently training for another half Ironman and also to run up Pikes Peak. There's a half marathon that runs up the 14er here where I am in Fort Carson, and I'm super excited about that. And then I'll be taking over as the chief of managed care here at Evans Army Community Hospital, actually within a couple weeks. I had originally said 1 August, but my boss has different plans for me. That's happening now.
Very good. Congratulations on that. And I definitely, for my first marathon, ran the flattest place I could find, which was Providence, Rhode Island. So kudos to you for running Pikes Peak. Yeah. All right, so let's kick it off. So first off, can you just tell us what emotional intelligence really is? Some of us may have not heard that before. As a leadership competency, where did all this come from?
Okay. So I usually look to Daniel Goleman. He's kind of one of the main founders, I think, of emotional intelligence. He started formulating models and things back in the 80s. You could trace it back way further than that, but I tend to stick with his definition. And he says that emotional intelligence is managing feelings so that they're expressed appropriately and effectively, which enables people to work together smoothly towards a common goal and their common goals. And we usually see the model itself divided into 4 categories. It's divided into self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. For me, it's kind of obvious to see why that kind of falls into a leadership competency, because we do want our leaders to be competent in those four categories.
Very good. It's kind of ironic. So today is Hunt the Good Stuff Thursdays. We're recording this podcast on a Thursday. So I slowed down and thought about that. It's interesting because one of the, I guess, tenets and well, one of the things about emotional intelligence, as I understand it, and one thing that I think turns people off to it, to some degree, is the touchy-feely nature of it. Hunt the Good Stuff Thursdays actually requires you to slow down and think about all the good things in your lives. And I remember that when we first did it, I think it was like our second day of class when we were talking to the group about it, people really didn't want to talk about it because they perceived it as being touchy-feely. So while emotional intelligence may not directly be related to the skill of resilience, how would you respond to those that are critical of what we will now call, I think, EQ, is being overly touchy-feely?
Yeah, and so when we're talking about the emotional quotient, we're talking about the capacity to have it. And so we preach a lot in the military, and I will try not to talk too long-winded about this, but we preach in the Army that it's important to be a well-balanced leader, well-rounded, 360-degree assessment, all of the above. You know, we make sure that our attributes are all defined in a way that we think catches every quality of being a good leader. And then we decide we want to eliminate an entire section just because we don't want to approach our own emotions. I think emotional intelligence is just critically important to being a successful leader. You know, we lead with rank, we have rank, and we can lead by authoritarian means if we want to. But I think that emotional intelligence leads into truly caring about your people. You know, how do you get people to follow you? How do you inspire and empower your people, coach, mentor? That to me is emotional intelligence. It means that you have the capacity to understand your own feelings. You know yourself very well, and that is how you can reach and get to know all of the different kind of people that you're going to encounter in your careers and through your soldiers. You know how to behave in certain situations. You can control yourself in different environments, which for us, we are exposed to a multitude of incredibly different experiences, often very stressful environments where it's important to have that resiliency and know that mindfulness of knowing yourself. You're also able to adapt and relate and connect to people on your team. Emotional intelligence, like study after study, we know that it cultivates unit cohesion and a culture of trust. So for touchy-feely, like it's a lot more than feelings and emotions to me, and I think we fall short when we simplify emotional intelligence to just being about that. So those leaders self-motivate, they practice mindfulness, like I said before, they're empathetic, which is huge. We want our leaders to be empathetic. We have social skills to relate to all of the different personalities in our company. We communicate more effectively. And with the emotion piece, we're able to harness our emotions to enhance thinking and become more complex leaders rather than restricting our emotions. And I think that's where we lose sight of, you know, simplifying emotions as being touchy-feely. We don't want to restrict our emotions. We want to interact with them so that we can harness them and be better leaders because of it. I think we all know leaders who have not been able to control their tempers. We've seen unit missions suffer. We've seen unit morale suffer. So it's important that we get to know our emotions and how to control them. So that's what I say to that piece, I think.
Huh, that's interesting. It's funny. We just had Mike Irwin on the podcast, and you may have, for everyone who's listening to this podcast, if you haven't heard that episode, it's a great one. Definitely a golden one you should totally listen to. And what I'm hearing you say are a couple of the things that he talked about in terms of, you know, regulating self and positive psychology. So it's cool to hear you say it too.
Yeah, like we, emotional intelligence actually prepares people for more tough challenges. So when we see it narrowly as like sensitivity or likability, we lose the good parts of it. People who are emotionally intelligent are able to deliver difficult feedback to employees, to our soldiers. We have courage to ruffle feathers, to drive change. And we also have creativity and bravery to think outside the box. Again, things that we say we want our leaders to have, but we fall short when we forget that emotion is a critical component to growth and to, developing those skills.
Yeah. You talked about empathy, which is, I mean, one of my favorite words. What do you think, and this is sort of on the topic of emotional intelligence and relates to the first question, of course, but what do you think gets in the way of us being able to be empathetic leaders?
Oh, that's a hard one for me because I think that I'm one of the most empathetic people I know, and it has been difficult at times in my military career to harness that. Because I think when you're too empathetic, that you end up carrying the weight of other people's issues and their emotions, and that can sometimes be difficult to deal with. But I think that it's important to point out the importance of caring about people, and that's how I would put it in its simplest form. And if you're so concerned with being results oriented and mission oriented, you're going to lose your soldiers at some point in the process. And I know that it's a little different in combat arms branches, where it's a lot more about following orders in those important situations. There's no time for discussion, whereas me in the AMED, debate is something that's constant. Like, we are constantly trying to be more diplomatic, because it's for the sake of patient care. So, it's a little harder for me to address that, but I think that when you're looking at maybe talking about Simon Sinek, for example, when he's talking about your why, people want to know why you're going to do something. So we might listen to orders, but in the long term, and really like cultivating a culture of trust, and trust in your leader, they have to know that you care about them. So, I mean, I think we've all seen leaders fall short because they don't really know how to do that. So it is a skill that we need to teach. It is a skill that we need to encourage people to self-reflect and grow. I'm not sure if that answered your question, but.
No, it did. It's spot on, actually. And so I'm gonna hold a few more things that I'm gonna dive deeper into as we continue the podcast. Resist the temptation to talk about them now, right? So that'll actually lead into my next question, which is in a 2009 article in Military Review by Lieutenant Colonel retired Gerald Sewell. And sir, if you're listening to this, I apologize if I butchered your name. We'll include it in the show notes, though. But he aptly points out that most Army leadership doctrine doesn't specifically address emotional intelligence head-on. Does this surprise you? And why do you think the topic hasn't really gained any solid traction in actual written doctrine?
So, yeah, I think when people hear the word emotional, it's like this trigger word, and no one wants to talk about it. They get anxiety, they shut off, they don't want to talk about their feelings. Addressing your emotions is often difficult for other people, so they don't want to talk about it. It still does surprise me, though. I think the Army, some of the more transformational leaders that I have had as mentors, people that I work with in the AMED as well, we know, if you look at the business world, and this is me just coming out of Baylor, the Army Baylor program, the Army falls behind routinely in the business world, even though we operate so similarly to one. And if you look at like the Harvard Business Review, if you subscribe to it, or even just go read some articles on emotional intelligence, it's talked about constantly in the as the component to building successful workplace teams. We've well documented how it plays a huge role in workplace satisfaction, mission success, and I think that we just don't want to get to that transparent point where we're talking about it regularly, where we're putting it in doctrine. I think Colonel Sewell talks about how we want our leaders to be self-aware, we want them to be adaptive, we want them to be flexible, agile. Those are all components in our Army doctrine. Which are components of emotional intelligence. But where we fall short is we don't say that those things require emotion and being able to control your emotion. He actually says we're implying that they're hard skills, that people just have those, that you can go through ROTC, you can go through field problems and your assignments as an officer, and you learn those things just by doing, and that's not true. We also don't discuss the importance of understanding and applying emotional aspects. We don't train people on how to get those aspects. And I don't think we can do that until we start acknowledging that we do need to actually say those words in doctrine. So I think that there's some overcoming of stigmas that we still need to get to.
Interesting. So it's funny. So here at West Point, one of the things that is constantly spoken about is time. If you ever want to add something to a cadet's plate, it's really like pulling teeth to do so, because a cadet's time is so valuable and their time is already spoken for, which is fair. And you've got to, at least to some degree, squash the good idea fairy to some, you know, reasonably. So my question is, and maybe I don't know, this is sort of thinking out loud, but I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I think our viewers or listeners would as well. Do you suppose that some of the reason why the Army has not adopted a emotional intelligent mindset, and I'm not trying to make excuses, I'm just asking the question, is because it sounds to me from everything that you're saying that it is somewhat time, you know, intensive. You've got to be deliberate about it. You've got to be empathetic, which I think is something that takes some time to think about. Do you think that there is a time component to emotional intelligence, and is that potentially a barrier to us being more open to this in our own, like, way of life in the Army?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a time component to it, but I think something that we say a lot in my corps and my line of work is, just because something is going to take extra time doesn't mean it's not worth doing. And perhaps, you know, this is so important. Perhaps we add this into some curriculum, into commissioning sources, into classes, and we get rid of some of the things that might not be as important. Or we repackage resiliency training and include it there. Or we, you know, touch on it. Because what you find is this abstract concept that other leaders who are perhaps a bit more visionary will bring it up. So you'll be in resiliency training, or you'll be briefing your leadership philosophy to your soldiers, and that's when you bring it up. And it's kind of like an afterthought in that respect. So perhaps we would gain some more credibility if we would actually put it on paper and just try, you know what I mean? Like, we're tasked to do things all the time that create more work and more hassle for us. But I think we need to get to the point where we're more agile as a military in adopting things and figuring out ways to kind of slip them into doctrine, because we don't emphasize emotion. And I think when we look at our behavioral health components, we're not succeeding in making soldiers more resilient. I don't think we're succeeding in teaching them how to truly be connected socially, emotionally, however you want to say it, to their soldiers, to their families, to their peers. I mean, I think that we really struggle with this. And you can have the qualities of a good leader that we think of. You can have great ideas. You can have the training. You can have the competence. But if you're not emotionally intelligent, you're going to fall short at some point in your career. You're not going to be able to reach people. Another thing that one of my infantry friends told me was, we really promote based on short-term results, not long-term results. And so emotional intelligence brings with it changing a complete culture. And when you're in a job for, you know, a year and a half, 18 and 24 months, and you get your OAR and you move on to your next assignment, they're just looking at your results that you achieved. They're not thinking about our culture, you know, how did you perhaps change the culture or gain momentum to really do bigger and better things. And I think that where that might be complex to adapt to is, most units kind of have the same mission day in and day out. So I don't know, that's kind of the hybrid, I think, between successful business and unit mission success. So
yeah. And you just touched on, like, literally my mind is going three different places in terms of talent management and then be no do, right? We've heard that a hundred times.
Yeah.
Really, emotional intelligence, I mean, it almost falls into all three categories without, I mean, going through that wormhole, of course. But You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I won't say anything about talent management because I don't want to hijack the emotional intelligence podcast
Yeah.
episode. So, but potentially something to think about. So you talked a lot about education, and so I think that's a great lead into our next question. I know your background is in military healthcare, often referred to as bedside manner. I really like to explore the role of emotional intelligence and leadership in the AMED community. Should there be additional training for AMED personnel at their OES and NCOS schools or providers in general? So not necessarily just providers, but not necessarily just schools, but also for providers in general. And again, I know this is a long-winded question, so feel free to break it up however you'd like, but what would this look like if you were queen for the day within the program of instruction?
Yeah, so I think we might talk about it a little more than other branches, which is good. What was his title? We're currently going under a restructuring in the AMED right now. It's been going on for a couple years, and it's about to, the momentum is huge. So we are restructuring our leadership in hospitals, and he was sort of our chief of nursing, and now he has just taken command of the hospital in Longstuhl. And Colonel Hudson did a mentorship session to officers, a little OPD on emotional intelligence and why it's important. And it was very well received. I think that we, maybe not bedside manner specifically, because we do a lot in how we take care of patients and proper etiquette and taking care of patients, where I think we could use more skills and emotional intelligence is taking care of the providers themselves and taking care of the staff and helping to cope with provider burnout. That's something we suffer a lot, especially in the military, because you not only have high op tempo with patient care, but you also have some crazy demands from the government and Congress in what they expect us to be able to achieve financially. And also all of the military requirements that you have in addition to that. So people, we need to teach it more for individuals. And I think that goes for all across the Army, teaching them how to cope with their emotions and their self-awareness so that we can communicate better in order to take care of our officers and our healthcare providers. And when we do that, then we're taking better care of the patients just by default, because better provider satisfaction and better satisfaction for us is going to lead to better patient care. So I think that it needs to be taught everywhere we can. I think we need to teach it in commissioning sources. I think it should be taught at West Point and as part of ROTC curriculum. I remember taking a leadership class. I think it's perfect to nest into that. And then I think it should be touched on at each level of PME that we all go to in our careers later on. I think it should be taught everywhere. You know, we talk about resiliency, we talk about suicide awareness. I think this is up there with that, ASAP, whatever. We need to talk about emotional intelligence too.
If there's a level that you think that it's most applicable, where do you see that being? So, you know, it would be great at all levels, but if there's one place where it fits the best, I mean, to you, where do you think that would be and why?
I would probably say at the command level, company command. So perhaps you know a little bit about it as a junior soldier or a junior officer, and when you become an NCO, senior NCO, or perhaps captain and above, like, we really need to start teaching the transformational results that having a strong, you know, emotionally intelligent culture would benefit, how it would benefit your unit. You know, why is hunting the good stuff important? Why is knowing your emotions important in getting to know your soldiers? You know, thinking about the scenarios that were put in, or the, you know, perhaps more difficult soldiers that we'll deal with in our career. Like, we have to be able to figure out ways to reach those people. You know, if you're not emotionally intelligent, you might only be able to identify with people who are like you. And with us being exposed to so many different kinds of people, it's important to know them and how to teach, coach, and mentor them in order to get them to fall in line, you know, get that cohesive unit, that culture, the trust thing that I keep talking about. And than really achieving results. So I would say probably company grade and above. And then later on in your career, you need to be able to teach that to your leaders, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's interesting. I'll say that I remember I was doing a PT session with my company, and the commander of the Maneuver Support Center of Excellence, which at the time was Major General Leslie C. Smith, came out and did PT with my company. And he asked me a question. He only asked me one question. He didn't talk to me a whole lot. I think it was sort of enjoying the experience and just being with the troops. But he said to me, and at this point I'd been in command for about 14 months, and he asked me what I had learned thus far in company command. And I had another 8 months to go, little did I know. But and so I was sort of reflecting when I probably should have been thinking more about what I can do in terms of initiatives. But nevertheless, I told him that I learned that you need to be humble. And I think that a better response, now having some time and not knowing what I was really trying to get at, and probably a case for why emotional intelligence should be taught in OES and NCOES, is that really what I should have said is that you as a leader need to be emotionally intelligent, because it'll help you connect with your soldiers better. And so I totally agree. I think that if I were to ask myself this question too, I think CCC is a great spot for it. I know that I was pretty bad at it as a lieutenant, and I have some regrets about that. So,
what about like being able to control your emotions?
No, about just being able to, for starters, to empathize, which is a tenet of emotional intelligence as I see it, and well, what we talked about. But with my soldiers, and yes, I was definitely more results oriented than, you know, than an emotionally intelligent leader would be, I suppose.
That's why this is so cool, because I think that I came from the opposite end of the spectrum. And part of me being empathetic, and I had some hard days as a lieutenant, was that I gave too much emotion to my soldiers. And they saw things, you know, in my struggle as a newly commissioned officer that I regret that they did see. And so where I might be coming from, trying to be too nurturing, too empathetic, too emotional with my soldiers, where we also see this is when officers lose their tempers, or leaders lose their tempers. And emotions can be toxic. So there's, without getting too scientific, we have our emotional brain and our thinking brain. And most of the time, the thinking brain is controlling emotions. But when we're put into stressful situations, which we very often are, I would say military officers are some of the most resilient people in our country. But when we're stressed out, like, we're not able to control those emotions. You know, we're talking field problems, deployments, complex mission sets, and the emotional brain will act as that early warning system, and we get tense, our heart rate increases, we're releasing all of those stress chemicals, and what that leads to is us lashing out at people, or us doing things that later on we're like, oh my gosh, I regret doing that. And so knowing yourself and how you might react is how you are able to then look within and kind of control it, instead of spewing it out to everybody in your general vicinity.
That's funny. That's sort of a lead into my fourth question, well, which was going to be about emotional intelligence and when it could ever be out of scope for a junior officer. So before we get too deep into that, I would like to know, if you think between, it's interesting, your case and my situation, what you think the right balance is in terms of being emotional intelligent as a junior officer.
What are the imbalances?
No, what would be a good balance with me being, for example, probably completely tuned out to it and you being way too into it?
Yeah, I think the easiest answer for that is one-on-one versus the unit as a whole. And so if you're trying to think of a good example, when any time a soldier uses the open door policy or they're talking to you one-on-one, that's when it's like, okay, here's a little bit about me. I'm showing you who I am so that we can develop that trust in a relationship. I think that it's awesome when you let soldiers see a little piece of who you are. I have seen firsthand that has benefited me. I think that's, kind of letting people know your why, getting back to that. It helps people follow you, and you give them a source of inspiration instead of just talking about results all the time. But when you're out in front of the soldiers, or you're out, doing a mission, or you're training, or you're, in the motor pool doing maintenance Monday or whatever it is, that's when you're talking about results. And so your soldiers see both qualities in you. And so they know when it's time to, follow orders versus when it's time to kind of talk. And you want them to open up to you. I've always said that is like, you want your soldiers to open up to you, because when you're giving orders or whatever the scenario is, they're going to listen to you because they have to. But you want people to listen to you because they want to. And that gets into like kind of generational leadership, I think. The impact that we leave on soldiers and people when we're gone. We're not just in charge, or we're not just leading when we're in front of them. We're leading 100% of the time, even after we're gone.
Yeah, very, very true. So do you think that there are any OPD or LPD topics that commanders and platoon leaders can do to, quote-unquote, train emotional intelligence?
Yes, I think maybe an introductory briefing with the title of it being emotional intelligence is not all about the feels. It's not just touchy-feely. Let's talk about why it's more than that, because just like I could see leaders being skeptical about what it's about, I could see soldiers being skeptical too. And we saw that when resiliency training came about. I'm sure there's still plenty of people that talk about how ridiculous resiliency training is. But I can say, being friends with a couple of the instructors at Fort Benning, you start to see people come around, and you start to see people hunting the good stuff, and that is becoming more in touch with who you are and how you tick. And I think that the two marry really well together. So that's kind of what I always go back to is, let's talk about resiliency. Let's talk about the components of emotional intelligence. And how do you guys think that these fall into the important concepts of being a good leader? Let's talk about how those things have a lot in common.
Yeah. It's funny hearing you talk all this stuff about MRT, just gives me this mental image of an iceberg that I have or have had as a young leader that we're not meant to that officers should not show their emotions to their troops. And so that iceberg, right, that iceberg belief is something that potentially could get in the way of me being an emotionally intelligent officer. So it's weird. Anyways, won't go too deep into that. But what I'm hearing you say too is there's sort of like there's a saying that we train or that we teach in the class that I teach up here, and that is that war is a human dimension. To sum that up, I guess in a few minutes, war is an actual human act that is fought by humans. And so understanding that war has an effect on people, and that it is really a people business, I think touches briefly on the topic of understanding how that affects your formation. And being an emotionally intelligent leader can, I think, be an early warning sign for you if your formation is, under siege per se, for, I guess, maybe behavioral health issues or just resiliency related struggles. Does that sound, what do you think about that?
It sounds good. Like one of the final points I wanted to make on the question is in some mission sets, direct orders have to be given and quickly followed. Like that's it. You will listen to whatever your company commander tells you to do. So sometimes a leader has to be fast, firm, and tough. It's necessary to be effective in those mission sets. However, an emotionally intelligent leader is transparent enough with his soldiers so that they know when things like conflict resolution and diplomacy are not the answer. We're not going to talk about that stuff right now. The trust has been developed, though, so that a unit knows when it's time to shut up and follow orders. So it's all about, again, getting through the stigma to realize the importance of what it is. It's not having constant therapy sessions with your shoulder. It's not telling everyone how you feel or how you're stressed out. Like, that's not what we're trying to get at. We're just trying to be open enough and connected with our shoulders in a way that they know the difference. They know when you're doing one thing, they know when you're doing another. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very clarifying. That's awesome. So, rounding it out a little bit, are there any books that you've read or you're reading on the topic that you'd recommend to our listeners? And if so, why did you choose those?
I have so many. Colonel Sewell's book, Colonel Retired Sewell, he actually wrote a book back in 2009 about emotional intelligence and the Army Leadership Requirements Model. I think that's a must because he does such a good job of translating it to military mindset. I would recommend, you know, just Google searching on the Harvard Business Review website, emotional intelligence, because they have so much good stuff. They actually just did an article this year on assessing yourself in 12 different competencies. And we're seeing a surge. I don't know about you guys, but we're seeing a surge in personality tests. Like when I take over my department, I'm going to give everyone a personality test. And we're seeing that a lot, especially here at Evans. We want to know the personality types of our people. Some people will think that's touchy-feely, but to that I say, read the research. And so you're assessing yourself in these 12 elements of emotional intelligence and figuring out which things you need to work on. And that was written by Daniel Goleman. He has been around for a while. He is still talking about it and continuing to do research. I would recommend his book. He actually wrote a few. Gosh, what's his first one called? I think it's just called Emotional Intelligence. Another one of my favorites is Emotional Intelligence, A Practical Guide by Dr. David Walton. That's a great one. And then Travis Bradbury is another good one, more modern. He's the one who added empathy as its own tenet, which I don't necessarily agree with. I would just wrap it back up into the four original components. There it is. Emotional Intelligence, Why It Can Matter More Than IQ. That's Daniel Goleman's book.
Interesting. Gosh, no. I totally agree with the personality testing. I actually wrote a blog post probably less than a year ago about using MBTI scores to build teams and how it would be awesome if, depending on what your unit's mission is, but building a team and assigning talent to your unit's requirements. So if you have an organization that, if you have a, you know, a company that is getting ready to deploy as just at the company level, separate from your battalion, and their mission is to do, you know, something which requires them to interact with a population frequently, and the commander and first sergeant or the platoon leaders are all introverts, then you, I mean, that probably is not a good company to send on that mission. And how cool would it be if you use personality testing to understand, you know, just like the tools in your tool, in your toolkit, what assets you have, and then employ your resources based on their requirements, and that to some degree being, you know, talent and leadership.
That could literally change the entire way that we do things. What if when you went to a recruiter, you actually did something like that and you want to be an infantry officer, but we find out that perhaps that wouldn't be the best career path for you. And that saves some commander down the line having to chapter a disciplinary issue because this guy or this girl is so lost in what they didn't expect or what, you know, the moral conflictions or not being able to handle the rigor of the missions. Like, we could save a lot of heartache, I think, if we looked more at what people are and what they bring to the table. And typically, personality traits don't change that much. Like, I'm always going to be an extrovert. I'm always going to feel charged by being in front of people, or, you know, I'm OCD enough that I do very well with lists and task oriented to results oriented type mindsets. And that's the thing, Micah. Like, this is emotional intelligence. When you are looking at somebody's traits, first off, you know yours, and then you're looking at someone else's to see how you can lead them. That is exactly what emotional intelligence is. You know yourself well enough, and you're adaptable to reaching other people in your unit in order to achieve the best results for the mission itself. Like, the mission is people, and that's how we get to visionary leadership, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sold. No surprise there, probably. Well, thank you. Thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule to sit down and talk with us. I know that as a recent Baylor graduate and now being thrusted in the seat a little bit earlier than you expected to, we're thrilled that we could steal you away from your family and your job for a little bit to talk about this amazingly important topic. So thank you. So this wraps up today's Leader Huddle podcast. In the next episode, David and I are going to be sitting down to discuss Leader Huddle 1 year later, what we've been doing along the way from our journey from this, this idea and to what it has become to where we are today. You can tweet directly to us by using the handle @leaders_huddle. And check us out on Facebook at our new Leaders Huddle page. You can find all of our episodes on iTunes and the Google Play podcast channel. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics you'd like us to discuss. So please leave a comment on iTunes in the form of a rating and review. Definitely want to stand that out. That's the way that the podcast gets noticed and the way that we can share the good news. So if you would please leave us a rating and review, we would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, get out there and make a difference in your organization. This is Leaders Huddle Podcast, signing off.
The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle Podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.